The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, sometimes it's useful to consider that the only thing we ever really possess is our response to situations. Nothing else is really our possession. And if we look at responses, one of the interesting distinctions is the distinction between responses and reactions. Reactions, I think the way people often use it, is that we're kind of operating on automatic pilot. Something happens and there's a reaction that's maybe we don't even think about it, there's no self-reflection, we can't help ourselves, it just comes out of us something. A response, in contrast, is something that's done with presence, understanding, self-awareness, and with a degree of choice that this is the wise thing to do, or this is what I'm choosing, this clear sense that this is what I'm choosing to do. And a reaction is not something you possess, it's something that moves through you. It's not really you with a reaction, it's just something that goes on. If anything is you, it's your choice you have about how you respond. And what we're trying to do in practice is to have a greater ability to respond, a greater capacity to be present at the moment of choice. If you can see there's choice, then there's a gap, there's a space, there's more opportunities to be wise, to be reflective, to have other sources of information coming along, to be considered, what we're going to do, and thoughtful in what we're going to do, or heartfelt in what we're going to do. And practice hopefully brings us into this place of greater choice. Some people, I think, they react to the idea of response, that we're responsible for how we respond. We have the ability to choose and be part of that responsibility. And part of that reactivity around this teaching of response is that some people have too much burden of self, of conceit, involved in what they do. And it takes many forms. One form is that it feels like a lot of work to be responsible. It's a lot of work of me, myself, and mine to choose, and I have to be successful, and I have my parents breathing down my neck, or my society breathing my neck, or my God is breathing down my neck about that. I have to do it right, I have to be successful, and it's all up to me, and I'll probably fail. And there's all this complicated stuff that comes into play when we're told that, you know, it's up to us to make a choice. Some people then prefer to have a religious teaching, a Buddhist teaching, that seems to free us from responsibility. And somehow we're supposed to just kind of naturally just let the natural movement just flow and just kind of, we kind of get out of the way. And sometimes that kind of attitude is compensatory to the fact that it's so painful, the whole idea of self-doing and succeeding and making things work. But this is part of what's interesting, is that we always have the ability in any moment to respond, to make a choice of how we respond to the situation. And one of the choices we have is to be interested, to be curious. One of the choices we have is to say, what's going on here? Let's take a deeper look at this. Let's look more carefully at what's happening. And that's not having to do something externally in the world or change anything, or it doesn't have to involve a certain kind of ordinary kind of choice about what to say or to do, but it is a choice to learn more about what's happening and understand more, be present more for what's happening. And a big part of mindfulness practice is making the choice to be present for what is. It is a choice. It is a response to be mindful. And, you know, we exercise that choice all the time. But as we choose to study and learn what's going on, we can learn all the extra things we bring along with our responses. And what we'll find out is that it's never all reaction or all kind of self-selected response. Those two overlap quite a bit. There can be what we do is a nice response, a choice, but comes along in baggage is some of our reactivity, some of our old habits and patterns and ideas of self and, you know, beliefs that we have that belong more to the world of reactivity. Sometimes we have more reactivity, but it's not 100% reactivity. There is some, maybe, clarity, some wisdom, some responsivity that's going on in there as well. It's not all or nothing. And I emphasize this because part of this, to really start taking, engaging with our ability to respond, to see it as the only thing we really possess, or really our only thing we own, that we can be responsible for is how we respond, is to begin a process of clarifying. Excuse me. To begin a process of clarifying or purifying our response, to begin understanding and studying how we respond, to see what's extra, to see what comes maybe out of greed or out of ill will, or what comes along with conceit, and what comes along with all kinds of inherited ideas of being a doer and being a successful person and trying to prove ourselves or trying to apologize for ourselves or trying to, all this stuff comes along, and to study it, to learn about it in the actions and doing and responding, over time it begins to purify or clarify or simplify. The extra falls away. And as the extra falls away, one of the things that falls away is a strong sense that I'm the doer. That I am the one who's making a choice to respond. There can be responses, very clear choices are made, but there seems to be less and less of the conceit of the doer as part of it. And rather than this kind of falling back into some of the natural flow of phenomena, there's a sense of clarity and decisiveness and dignity about here there is choice, here there is wisdom operating. And it can be very empowering, but without empowering yourself, I'm the one who's empowered. To live in a world of choice, to live in a moment by moment to respond out of the best wisdom that we have, the most heartfelt way we have, what's most useful at the moment. And if that process of clarification and purification continues and develops, then we become freer and freer in that process. There's more and more freedom in that process, and more ease, more care, and perhaps more love and more compassion as possible. So to take the route of ownership of your response, being responsible for how you respond, choiceful of how you respond, is a path that is really great for moving towards what Buddhism is aiming towards, to freedom, to compassion, to a wise life, a caring life. So the challenge I'm offering you today is not the challenge to only become mindful. Challenge is to become mindful so you can really live in that place where you feel like you're being responsive in a choiceful way in all the things that you're doing as you go through your life. And it can be phenomenally small, the details of this. You have a choice when you leave this room about how you put on your shoes. Are you involved in that choice? Or do you put on your shoes out of habit? You have a certain way of doing it. You have important things to do, after all, to get on to the next thing and some of you are going to clean the center, and you know, so you've got to get started, and shoes are like the last thing on your mind, and you know how to do it. You can do it in your sleep, almost, they say. And so you just kind of slip on your shoes and go, you know. In that moment, you're not exercising your choice. You're not being responsive to the particular circumstance of putting on your shoes. And maybe it seems phenomenally petty to talk about being present, but how you put on your shoes. I don't know if it is. It's developing your capacity for attention, for mindfulness, for choice. And who knows, maybe someone's watching you put on your shoes that day and are so impressed. Wow, that person is so present just for that. Or maybe when you put off your shoes, you put your shoes in the shelf in such a way that it looks like you're actually caring for everyone who comes to IMC, because you put your shoes over to the side to make it easier for someone else to put their shoes there, as opposed to just kind of throw them up on the shelf and not think about it. It becomes a rich world, and the world becomes richer and richer, more and more kind of magical even, the more we live in this place where we really connect to the place of choice, and we live that that point of choice. And the final thing I'll say, which I've said now maybe Monday and Sunday here, that I think that one of the ways to understand the Buddhist teachings on karma, is that the emphasis is on front-loading our life, not end-loading it. And what that means is that front-loading, it means that we pay more attention to our response, to how we react, and give care and attention to how we do that. Because if we don't, if we are operating under, many of us at least, operating from reactivity and that we might have without care, that then sometimes then what we're doing then is we're end-loading our life, meaning we have to clean up afterwards. And cleaning up afterwards sometimes is much more difficult than taking care of things on the front end. And not a few people have discovered, and I've discovered this, it would have saved me, 2 seconds would have a care on the front-loading, saved months of struggle afterwards, you know, trying to repair relationships and things like that. So this emphasis on being mindful so we can be in the place of choice and use that ability we have to respond is meant to be a way of caring for our karma and make our life easier in the future. So I hope that it brings you much peace and joy, and it benefits the world around you when you act this careful way. So thank you.